Some fresh developments as Japan moves away from nuclear power.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Things have been electric on the Japanese stock market of late, the Nikkei index today hitting a 5.5-year high. But the country is in need of energy and is hunting for it in innovative ways. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is in Tokyo. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Japan's pledged $2 billion for energy and mining projects in Africa. What's the general problem the country's trying to solve?
I think there's a couple of things going on here, David. One is I think there is a big race into Africa going on. It's been led by China recently, and I think Japan feels like it doesn't want to be left out of the party. But there's a much more selfish reason going on here as well, which is Japan needs energy resources. It was very dependent on nuclear power up until 2011 and the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Since then, it's had to close down all its nuclear power plants, so it has to find new energy resources from elsewhere.
And some of those resources would be overseas, mining, natural gas, but also there's a move toward renewable energy that looks like a Wall Street firm is trying to take advantage of.
Yeah, interesting announcement from Goldman Sachs that it's going to invest around $500 million US dollars into renewable energy projects here in Japan. Last year, the Japanese government announced a comprehensive feed-in tariff for renewable energy.
So what kind of tariff?
So if I put a solar panel on the roof of my house and I make more electricity than I need, I can feed that into the electricity grid and I'll get paid for it. And that's really giving a big incentive for investors to come here to build new renewable energy infrastructure because they now have a guaranteed payment.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's do the numbers. The Nikkei went up 1.5% today. The FTSE 100 in London is flat at the moment. Yahoo shares will begin trading at about $26.5 this morning amid news it's paying $1.1 billion to buy the popular social blogging site Tumblr. There was a day in 2011 when gold hit $1,888 an ounce. This morning it's at $1,347. A precious metal that was once seen as a durable hedge against the recession has had a lousy spring. But as Gigi Duban reports, gold may be down but not out.
For anyone shocked at how much the price of gold has dropped, don't be.
It turns out it's a very risky investment.
That's Campbell Harvey, finance professor at Duke University. He says people who stashed money in gold have been spoiled by positive returns. But Harvey says the real price of gold is way higher than it should be. 2 years ago, gold prices topped $1,900 per ounce.
To revert to the long-run average, the spot price of gold needs to drop to $800.
But Ashish Bhatia with the World Gold Council says the price drop opens up opportunities for new investors. And there's still plenty of demand for the metal itself.
We've seen the physical demand from China and India virtually double in terms of tonnage demand from these two major markets in the gold market.
He says gold still has its place, just as long as investors don't put all their eggs into one golden basket. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
This week, a solar-powered plane is expected to take off from Arizona in the second leg of a cross-country tour. As KJZZ's Steve Shadley reports, the solar impulse is not about speed, it's kind of pokey, but about long distances powered by the sun.
The Solar Impulse is the brainchild of two private investors from Switzerland. Bertrand Piccard and André Borschberg are flying their own aircraft coast to coast. With temperatures above 100 degrees at the Phoenix airport, the plane is parked inside a huge air-conditioned tent. The plane only travels about 58 miles an hour, but Piccard says he's happy with that.
The goal is not to arrive as soon as possible, Because what is interesting with Solar Impulse is not the speed, it's the duration.
The one-seat plane is powered by 4 electric propellers. The pilot wears a parka to stay warm and an oxygen mask to breathe 30,000 feet up. It uses 12,000 solar cells made of material as thin as a human hair, and the airplane only weighs about as much as a Prius. The solar panels cover the top of the plane's really long wings. They're as wide as the wingspan of a 747.
You can theoretically stay airborne forever, because during the day, the sun is enough to run 4 electrical engines and to load the batteries, so we can continue to fly at night.
Will Solar Impulse change the course of aviation history? John McDonnell, founder of the Arizona solar tech company Sun Renew, says someday you might see hybrid planes that use gas and solar.
We could start incorporating this technology into commercial airlines. Now, it'll never get to run a jet by itself. However, it will reduce the carbon footprint of flights.
The inventors of Solar Impulse acknowledge planes powered by the sun won't take over the aviation industry. They just want to get consumers excited about going green.
What we're doing is an investment to encourage other people to use the same technologies than us in order to reduce their energy consumption for their house or for their cars.
The plane's been parked longer than expected in Phoenix because the crew wants to dodge tornadoes in Texas, its next stop. It's scheduled to complete its cross-country flight next month in New York. In Phoenix, I'm Steve Shadley for Marketplace.
Over the weekend, the Germans got their tuchuses whooped in the big Eurovision pop song contest. With 125 million people watching, the German band Cascada got no points at all from judges in 34 out of 39 countries voting. How could this be? Some German commentators think it's retribution for their government's pushing strict economic austerity around the Eurozone. A computer algorithm was predicting that Danish act Emily DeForest would win Eurovision. Algorithm got it right. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.